I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
This event just wasn't about Brighton. It was about the football industry as a whole. It was about the sports industry as a whole. It was about live events as a whole.
A sound not heard in English football stadiums since the coronavirus pandemic began. Brighton welcomed back fans at the Amex Stadium for a friendly against Chelsea, which ended in a 1-1 draw. Paul Barber is the chief executive of Brighton and Hove Albion.
Just to show government that we can stage things safely, but we also need to now move through the gears, providing the other pilot events are similarly successful so that we can bring more fans back to the stadium as quickly as possible, because the whole football economy and the wider economy really does depend on us having our business back running as quickly as we can. But obviously it's important that it stays safe, and that's why these events being progressive are very, very important.
The Premier League club admitted 2,524 supporters, with strict social distancing measures in place around the ground and for seating in the sparsely populated stands. Graham Potter, Brighton and Hove Albion head coach, was happy.
Fantastic. It's obviously a small step. It's the first step for us, but so nice to see people on the ground and hear the supporters and hearing them engaging with the game. Really nice feeling.
Plenty of hand sanitization points on the approaches to the stadium, and required face coverings during entry, although not while seated, did not dampen fans' enthusiasm.
Football without supporters is a lesser of a thing, but we also know why we've had to do it. So it's been a strange time, a time that we've all had to adapt to, but like I said, it's a nice first step to getting people back in the grounds and everything back to as close to normal as we can. It looked like everybody was enjoying it. Everybody was keeping a safe distance from where I was standing. Hopefully that's the start, the first step to a full recovery.
A digital match ticket was scanned for entry into the stadium, with cashless transactions at kiosks, and there was signage reminding fans for the need to regularly wash hands. Chief Executive Paul Barber says the fans respected all of the protocols.
A lot of credit due to the fans. You know, they listened to the requests that we've made of them. They were very, very respectful of our staff. They were looking after each other. Really, really very pleased with the way the event has gone.
The preseason game was part of a number of pilot events announced by the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport for a phased return of spectators following the ban on mass gatherings introduced in March due to the coronavirus outbreak. The Seagulls are set to host Chelsea again in their opening Premier League match September 14th. That match is currently scheduled to be played behind closed doors. There may be no fans present at the U.S. Open tennis tournament in New York, but the Grand Slam has no shortage of top-level play. World number one men's player Novak Djokovic won his first round match over Demir Djumer 6-1, 6-4, 6-1.
I thought it started very well, set in a break, and then things got complicated, lost my focus. He started missing less, and he put some really good variety in the game. You know, he's one of the quickest players on the tour. He gets a lot of balls back. You know, he played some really good shots, and was anybody's game really. Midway through the second set,
Djokovic then turned up his play, as we've seen so many times, to close out the win.
You know, if I didn't care, I wouldn't be here. And this is how I play, and I play with a lot of intensity and try to bring a lot of energy on the court. Sometimes it's not super positive, but you know, I try to bounce back from that and react well and recover.
Without spectators, very partisan cheering from players' boxes with family and friends are now easily heard on the court.
It is a bit strange, because sometimes, you know, you don't want maybe your box to clap when your opponent makes a mistake. Demir is a very good friend, so it was a little bit awkward, but at the same time, you know, it's a Grand Slam. You know, first round, we both want to start well, playing on the biggest stadium in sport, and I had a terrific week last week. You know, winning the tournament, so obviously feeling confident about myself.
Also being heard at the U.S. Open this year is the fight against racial injustices. 2018 U.S. Open Women's Champion Naomi Osaka of Japan brought 7 face masks to the event, each with a different name of a victim of racialized violence.
Honestly, I wasn't expecting it to, I guess, reach the heights that it did. For me, I just expected it to maybe, you know, a few tennis reporters to report it, and then nothing really happened. But the tournament, you know, they came behind me, and I feel like it was a really good, powerful statement. And for me, I just wanted to raise awareness, and I think that's what we did.
Osaka had high praise for U.S. Open organizers, pulling off the event amid steep constraints of the pandemic.
Just for them to rally through is a very big achievement, and it's no secret that the U.S. Open is one of my favorite tournaments, so just to be here, I'm very happy, and I don't know, it's definitely a bit weird to play tournaments after not playing them for so long, but to just have this opportunity is something that I am really happy with.
American Coco Gauff found bubble life unique.
Life has been pretty good in the bubble. There's a lot of entertaining things to do, a lot of games. It's definitely a different atmosphere from what all the players are used to. All of us are in one hotel, which it doesn't really happen on tour, so I think it's pretty cool, and I think the tournament and USTA have done a great job of putting everything together.
The U.S. Open women's single final is set for September 23rd, with the men's singles champion crowned the next day. Bubble life has been good for National Basketball Association star Chris Paul, as long as he and the Oklahoma City Thunder keep winning.
Bubble life is different, you know, when you are sort of on the ropes like that, down 3-2, like you got to pack. Have you packed and be ready for just in case, you know, you have to leave the next day, you know, so, you know, we're not ready to go yet.
Paul shot 15 of his 28 points in the final quarter to help the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Houston Rockets 104-100.
You know, and our team, we have had a memorable season, a lot of ups and downs and all that, and we just going to continue to fight. We wouldn't have it any other way.
The win forced a Game 7 in their playoff series.
We just got one of those teams where it's by committee. On any given night, it could be a different guy. So I was in the locker room telling the guys how excited I was about Game 7. You know, they say that's the best thing about sports is Game 7.
James Harden hoped his 32 points would advance the Houston Rockets, but turnovers got in the way.
Too many turnovers, especially in the playoff game, in the closeout game, just gave them too many opportunities. I think defensively we're doing a pretty good job with them only scoring 104 points, but, you know, we just shot ourselves in the foot by turning basketball over and giving us less opportunities to score basketball.
No matter the outcome, Oklahoma City coach Billy Donovan enjoys having Chris Paul on his team.
You know, he's got unbelievable basketball IQ, incredibly smart. He's a great competitor. He's got an incredible will to win. You know, when you've got a guy with that kind of mind, you know, manipulating and surveying the court the way he does, he did an incredible job.
The Los Angeles Clippers eliminated the Dallas Mavericks 4-2 with a 111-97 victory Sunday. Kawhi Leonard had 33 points and 14 rebounds.
We played pretty well in that first half. Then we went in with about a 6-point lead. So it was about starting that third quarter. And, you know, we got the lead up. And, you know, you just got to keep fighting. This playoff basketball, everything is not going to go your way. You're going to have downs and ups, and just got to keep playing.
Clippers coach Doc Rivers was impressed and learned something this season about his superstar.
You can tell he was the one guy that was used to closing out series. You know, he was calm. He got us in place. We, you know, doing games, you fall on a set, right? And we fell on that little elbow set for him. He just took what was there. You know, they didn't come, he scored. If they came, he made the right pass. So the one thing I didn't know, I knew he could pass. And I knew he may be a good passer. I didn't know he was an elite passer. And that's something you don't know until you coach a guy.
All of the NBA playoff games are being held without fans at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando, Florida.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
The PGA Tour saw a fantastic finish in Chicago, where Spaniard Jon Rahm and world number one American Dustin Johnson each had a hot putter at the BMW Championship. First, Johnson rolled in a 15-meter putt on the final hole of regulation to catch Rahm and force a playoff. But Rahm quickly answered on the very next hole with a massive 22-meter putt that found its way to the center of the hole to win the tournament.
Well, I would have rather not be in the playoff, but now given that, yeah, probably the closest best thing. Certainly don't want the stress that goes along with seeing DJ's ball in the fairway and then my ball in the rough, and he hits it to 30 feet, I hit it to 60, and you know, what's going on in my mind, right? But if you're going to tell me I'm going to make a 66-footer to win a tournament, I'll take it any day. You know, I think we all want that, the flashy finish. Maybe not the stress that comes with it, but, you know, I set up myself to enjoy even the uncomfortable moments that we had out there today. And, man, it was fun. So, yeah, pretty close to the best way to finish it.
There was not much for Johnson to say as he claimed the runner-up check.
I played well. I made a really nice putt to get in the playoff. And then you know, hit another good putt in the playoff. Thought I made it when it came over the hill, but it happens. He made a really good one.
The Olympia Fields North Course played tough with higher scores than we usually see the pros card, as Tiger Woods explains.
Yeah, this golf course was basically a U.S. Open, with the rough being as high as it is, and fairways a little bit narrow. Look at the scores, and I don't think that we've seen scores like this in a non-major in a very long time.
The course difficulty reflects the type of year Woods and the rest of the players have endured.
Difficult year and difficult season for everyone involved in the sport of golf. But we're certainly coming out on the positive sides. And this year was certainly one that I don't think any of us will ever forget.
Japan's Hideki Matsui placed third and knows he'll have another tough challenge at the next event. Well, it had obviously been a very tough week, but I think I was able to play tenaciously. Obviously, I won't be able to play well next week at East Lake unless I fix my shots, so I will work hard to be ready for the tournament.
Feels good.
Winning does, as Rasmus Højgaard of Denmark topped South African Justin Walters in a playoff of the European Tour's ISPS Handa UK Championship.
I didn't really expect it when we started today. I was 5 shots back, so I was just trying to score as low as possible and see where I ended up, and ended in the playoff and a win as well, so I'm very happy.
As he made his charge toward the top, he kept tabs on his rise along the course.
I did take a look at some of the leaderboards out there, so I had a feeling of where I was. Just try to keep my focus on what I can control, and that's setting up as many birdie chances as possible, and I did that coming in.
Walters had his ups and downs.
You know, I only have myself to blame, really. I hit 3 bad tee shots in regulation, which really cost me, So after all of that being said, to birdie 3 out of my last 5 or however many it was to get into that position, that's good too. So I've got to focus on that.
His constant smile hid the inner determination.
Yeah, I smiled because I'm known to cock things up like that, to be honest with you. So I just thought, well, that's the old Justin coming through to test me a little bit, so yeah, I just kind of looked at it from that point of view and said, right, well, here's the test, here's the challenge, let's see how you respond to it. And, I felt like I responded pretty good.
Walters hopes this strong finish will be the start of a better season for him.
I mean, I haven't shown any consistency this year, none whatsoever. I don't think I've made 2 cuts in a row, so we'll just crack on and keep doing what I'm doing and see where that lands me.
European golfers aged 50 and over now have fresh sponsorship and a rebranded tour as insurance firm Stayshure takes the lead for a new Legends Tour. Welsh golfer Ian Woosnam, now 62, is looking forward to rounds with other regional golf legends.
It's massive news, for everyone in Europe over 50 years of age. I can't wait to get going.
Can't wait to see everybody again. We've had a little bit of a time off, so I think everyone's going to be dying to get going, and it's just brilliant news for everyone.
The aim is to build a larger, commercially vibrant senior golf tour in Europe, similar to the successful PGA Seniors Tour in the United States. The Tour de France is rolling through the French countryside, where Australian rider Caleb Ewan slalomed through the bunch to win a sprint finish and claim the third stage on Monday.
Everyone stayed motivated. We all knew that if it all went right, then I can win the sprint. So, you know, everyone did their job today, and I think everyone gave 110% and made up for the two guys that we missed, and yeah, it worked.
Ewan won three stages last year, including the coveted final leg on the Champs-Élysées in Paris. British Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton sped to his 89th career win at the Belgian Grand Prix, and that extends his lead in his bid for a record-equaling 7th Formula One World Championship.
The start was horrible because it doesn't matter how good your start is off the grid. When you come around turn one, there are car lengths behind you, and then they tow and slipstream you off into turn five. But I managed just to balance it just right. Yeah, this is really just remarkable what the team is doing and what we're doing together. We're continuing to really push the envelope.
The Mercedes driver led every lap from the pole position to claim his fifth win in an increasingly one-sided Formula One campaign. Valtteri Bottas finished 8.4 seconds behind his teammate, with Red Bull driver Max Verstappen in third.
Well, it was not really a fight, you know, I was just trying to do my own race, because quite quickly I could see I could not really follow them. And yeah, I tried to put a bit of pressure on Valtteri on the hard tire, but then at one point they told him to speed up and that was it. Then they pulled away again. Then also I started to have a lot of vibrations and understeer, so I decided to just spec it out and bring it to the finish. Yeah, it was not ideal, but yeah, it's what it is.
Verstappen had split the two Mercedes drivers the week before by edging Bottas for second place. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.